SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. This is hour number two of our show. We will start it off with our 7 in 7 top headlines here. And we go to the ice, where we crowned a Stanley Cup champion. And for the second straight year, that is the Tampa Bay Lightning, beating the Montreal Canadiens in 5 games. Final score of that 5th game, 1-0.
Impressive, because the first period we watched as Tampa Bay dominated, and you saw the Canadians hanging on here, so maybe you could take it to the locker room and say, hey, we took their best shot right here. Let's see if we can grab a goal and maybe hold on for dear life before we can send it back to Game 6 in Montreal, but not the case. A late second period goal for the Lightning buoyed them to a victory. I thought there would be a little bit more goal scoring, but the fact that only one goal was scored by Tampa Bay, you hang on as long as possible with Carey Price in the net for the Canadians. 1-0 win, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. The only question now, Kevin, is the Stanley Cup going to go on a driving route through Tampa, or are they going to take to the water and see if they can make some magical feats by throwing the Stanley Cup from boat to boat to boat, Kevin?
If the Rays won the World Series, that really would have been impossible, though, right? Like, Tampa Bay is now the city of champions. It's just such a wild thing. But credit to Tampa Bay, as they are one of the best teams of certainly the last decade that we have seen, and they were excellent throughout this postseason run. Andre Vasilevsky, the goaltender of the Tampa Bay Lightning, taking home the Conn Smythe MVP of the NHL postseason. Moving over to Euro 2020, the final is set. It is going to be England versus Italy. England clinching their spot yesterday in extra time with a Harry Kane winner, 2-1, moving past Denmark.
Yeah, Denmark out early in this one, too. 30th minute, Damsgaard scores on an amazing free-kick shot. So you thought, like, uh-oh, it's going to be another bad episode for English soccer like it's been over the past 30 years in major tournaments. Not the case here. Rescued in own goal by Denmark, then followed by the Harry Kane penalty in extras. And here we are on Sunday, and as a couple of soccer guys, we will be heavily invested, or maybe, I should say, heavily invested in this game Sunday. But we will all be watching at Wembley Live. Good stuff here. Italy versus England. Can't wait for it on Sunday.
Yeah, Donnie will have all his English garbs on watching this match. The three lions, it's coming home, is what the people are saying. It's what the odds are saying as well. We'll certainly be following all the action at Euro 2020. The NBA Finals will pick back up tonight, game number two. The Phoenix Suns will take the floor as 5.5-point favorites, but they will also be taking the floor without Dario Saric, who was diagnosed, Donnie, with a torn ACL after leaving game one early.
Yeah, it looks like a lot more of Cam squared out here. And what that is actually Cam Johnson and campaign. 21 minutes and 17 minutes combined here in the first game. Look for them to be extended. They're playing well, so maybe this is a bright spot, but it never is a good thing to lose a bench guy like Dario Saric. Been around the NBA for a while. Good veteran presence towards ACL. Saw him hobble off the court, leave the game. Not a good look here, but good teams overcome that. And as long as your superstars are still intact, no reason to believe that they're going to miss a beat, being the Phoenix Suns, as they head into game two, Kevin.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one to break down. We will be doing that here in hour number two of the Early Line. We move things over to the world of Major League Baseball. Jacob DeGrom on the mound in game one of a doubleheader against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Mets get the win thanks to a late home run that pushed that into extra innings. DeGrom still spectacular, going 7 with 10 strikeouts in the no decision. We bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those listening to the Early Line throughout all of our radio affiliates out there, going through our 7 in 7 top headlines. DeGrom dazzling before the All-Star break, and all All-Star game in which he will not be partaking in.
Yeah, how about that game? 7 innings, 10 Ks by DeGrom, sensational. But I don't know what was more sensational, him throwing 10 strikeouts and going 7 innings, or the fact that Josh Hader actually gave up a home run or even gave up a run at all in that game for a victory by the Milwaukee Brewers. And we have talked about it. Come on, DeGrom, get to the All-Star game, but another amazing performance. Tip your cap. You just had an amazing performance. Go to the All-Star game. Put the uniform on. Tip your cap to the crowd out here. Come on, Jacob.
He's scared of Ohtani. He's scared of Ohtani. Maybe he should be, though, because Ohtani yesterday broke another record. He broke Hideki Matsui's record for most home runs by a Japanese-born player in a single season. It is not even the All-Star break, and he broke that record. His 32nd home run yesterday in the Angels' victory over the Boston Red Sox.
This will be an amazing story, Kevin, on September the 29th. Only a couple days left in Major League Baseball season. Look at this. Ohtani breaks that record. But here we are sitting before the All-Star break, and he's already breaking the record. So as we look forward to September 28th, 29th, 30th, is this going to be one of those where he's breaking Babe Ruth's record, where he's going after Barry Bonds' record? The MVP, people, on display. And I can't wait for the All-Star break to watch him as well.
The show goes on. Sticking with Major League Baseball, the Cleveland Indians dropped their 9th straight game, losing both legs of a doubleheader against the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday, and they were no hit in the second leg of that doubleheader. Things not going well right now for the Cleveland Indians.
I mean, did they even want to be there at this point, Kevin? You're getting no hit. It's like, hey, was there an ace on the mound? Did Blake Snell come back and absolutely dominate? Did Glasnow come back from an injury and dominate? No. 5 different pitchers over 7 innings, no hit you. That says anything like, hey, man, we're just looking to get out of Tampa. Or maybe they wanted to catch the Stanley Cup final in person and get out of town. Bad performance by Cleveland. Bad overall for them. And not looking good here for the rest of the summer for those Cleveland Indians.
Also, a historically boring no-hitter. Like, I heard this update on radio from Jay Berman. Does a great job. And I was like, what? It's like nobody even cared. Also, Roger Federer out at Wimbledon, unable to move forward to the semifinals after the loss, saying no immediate plans to retire. We take a break here on the early line. We come on back and break down the Major League Baseball board.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the early line. Time to break down today's Major League Baseball board. I want to start with the earliest game available to us today, which is Alcantara against Urias, Marlins versus Dodgers, minus 158 right now on the Dodgers. Total is 7.5. The Dodgers looking to avoid a 4-game sweep at the hand of the last place Miami Marlins here, Donnie. I know that there will be people who get to the window on the Dodgers for that reason alone. What do you think about this matchup here? Low total at 7.5 with a couple of good arms on the mound.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you bet these early games or try to get a figure on baseball because they're creatures of habit. Most of their games take place at night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, depending on where you're playing. But only on the weekends, typically like a Sunday afternoon, you'll get some of these early games or also getaway days. You do need a big win here if you're looking for the Dodgers to try to salvage something from the series. As we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook odds there, you're right. The Dodgers minus 158 in this one, and a 7.5 is a low total. But let's take a look from the Marlins' perspective, how they match up in this game versus the lefty Urias. 3.67 xFIP, which is very good. He's handled both left-handed batters and right-handed batters equally well, Kevin. 247 weighted on base average to lefties, 274 to righties. Now, that's not the batting average. Weighted on base average, 320 or below is below average. 320 or higher is above average. But take a look at the lineup that we anticipate today for the Marlins. Chisholm is a lefty. He leads off, 319 weighted on base average. Again, right around that marker. But take a look at some of the other batters in this lineup. Even if we look at ISO power numbers, which coming in 0.165, 0.170, about the normal in Major League Baseball. So anything higher than that is elevated. Chisholm, 164. Marte, 204. Cooper, 250. Aguiar, 169. Duvall, 250. Rojas, 164. And Alfaro, 205. You're looking at 6 to 8 batters in the lineup with elevated ISO power numbers in this game. And you say, hey, look at that 7.5 at a little bit of plus money. Conversely, if we flip it over to the Dodgers side going up against Alcantara in this one, a little bit higher xFIP, 4.28. But he does have good weighted on base averages to both left-handed batters and right-handed batters. But at the same time, this is a very good lineup for the Dodgers. You have elevated ISO power numbers as well. Even in a game, Kevin, that might profile as an under in that big ballpark, I think we get a little bit of fireworks early in the day, leaning towards the over in this game early in the morning here.
I like it. I always like an early day over.
Yeah.
And the thing with the Dodgers as well is you just keep staring at that team every day, and you're like, yeah, you should hit. Yeah, you should hit. You should hit. So if Miami could have a little bit of juice to them as well, that's going to be an attractive option. I want to keep moving throughout this board and bring up a team we talked about during our top headlines, and that's the Cleveland Indians really needing a win to snap out of a losing streak here. I know that the White Sox have had distance and been big favorites to win that thing for a long time, but a 9-game losing streak for the Cleveland Indians now has them 8 games back of the White Sox here. What do you make of this Cleveland team, Donnie, at home going up against the Kansas City Royals as minus 136 favorites with a total of 9.
Here's a great part about this, Kevin, as we set the stage. Like, when you're betting team totals or overs, it doesn't matter how bad your baseball team is from a win-loss perspective. So you say, why would you be crazy? Like, this team has lost double-digit games or close to losing double-digit games. Why would you even enter that into the equation or want to back them? Because sometimes it doesn't matter if they win as long as the matchup is right. Danny Duffy is a lefty on the mound here for the Kansas City Royals heading on the road. XFIP number a little bit elevated here, Kevin, 4.45, but he has handled his business here from a lefty-lefty perspective. Duffy being a lefty going up against a left-handed batter. 43 plate appearances he's faced lefties this year. 187 weighted on base average and a 143 ISO. A little bit higher right around average to righties, but let's take a look from a perspective of what we expect from the Cleveland Indians lineup tonight. We know they have the ability, a lot of switch hitters in the lineup, they can load up right-handed bats. So coming into tonight's game, the expected lineup, Kevin, only one left-handed bat. So if you do the simple math on that, that's going to be 8 batters from the right-hand side. And oh yeah, they actually hit very well versus lefties. Look at the ISO power numbers here. Cesar Hernandez leads off at a 243. Rosario, 198. Ramirez a little bit below at a 150. But then you have Framil Reyes, 228. Ramirez at 200. Bradley at 333. And Perez at 310. A lot of also elevated weighted on base numbers. One of those sneaky plays, Kevin, that I like to look at and say, yeah, this team is bad. But who cares if they lose as long as it's 7-6?
I mean, at the end of the day, that is why those team totals always start to line up. And when you can buy the bottom of a team, right, if the numbers start to drop, it feels worthwhile. There's always different shots you can take. Yesterday, took a shot on the Cubs-Phillies game to the over. 7.5 due to the conditions there. The Cubs offense finally woke up, put 8 runs up, chased Zach Wheeler out of that game. The Phillies put up 3 in their own right. Each game thus far of this series, Donnie, has gone over. Can they make it a clean sweep today, once again in Wrigley Field? We do not have a total just yet. This is the nature of Wrigley Field and not knowing exactly what the wind is doing. When you look at this one early out, though, Donnie, any idea of how the weather looks here and how this matchup between Alozé and Eflin could possibly profile?
Yeah, when we take a look at this game, Kevin, looking at the early indicators here, 8 o'clock game, Eastern as a first pitch, 13-mile-an-hour winds blowing, basically blowing in. More of a left foul pole to right foul pole, but you're not going to get any help there. But again, this is something that you wanted to participate in last night because there's no rule in Major League Baseball, Kevin, that says, hey, you can't hit singles and doubles and, you know, move the runners over and still score runs. It doesn't always have to leave the yard in order for you to tally some runs here. Eflin on the mound, 3.85 xFIP, which has been very good. Both lefty and righty hitters he has controlled there. But let's just see if those batters can come alive once again for a second night for the Chicago Cubs. But taking a look at Alzolay for the Cubs, a 4.04 xFIP number, right around average. He does get damaged from the left-hand side. So just a few nights ago, as you saw us talk about on the FanDuel Sportsbook on Dinger Tuesday, check out Bryce Harper's number against righties this year, Kevin. A 324 ISO power number stacked with a weighted on base average of 409. So maybe he, even with the wind blowing in, has a decent shot to get a home run in this. But again, if you're looking at those low depressed totals, which you don't know exactly what it's going to be, but whenever the wind's blowing in, we're certainly not going to see a 9 or an 8.5. Probably going to be less than that. probably looking more towards an over tonight, but maybe Bryce Harper again checking in with another home run chance tonight, Kevin, at Wrigley.
And let me back up what Donnie's bringing to the table there on the struggles against right-handers or against lefties for Alozley. 16 home runs allowed this season, 13 of them to lefties. He has given up two home runs in three straight games, all six home runs to left-handed batters. Not only would I bet Bryce Harper, I would also bet Didi Gregorius to hit a home run in this game. He cannot stop giving up home runs to left-handed batters. He's allowed seven total over his last four outings and has given up every single one of them to left-handed bats of all comers, not just megastars like, oh, you're an average left home run. It all just tank him. Looking elsewhere on this board, Donnie, I got to bring it up. The Yankees bringing some hope back to the Bronx. I don't know. They looked all right, though, in their last two games here in Seattle. They are minus 146 favorites with Montgomery against Gilbert here in a midday start out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, let the good times roll here versus Gilbert. Not a great pitcher. XFIP a little bit elevated here at a 4.52, but he does have decent weighted on base averages to both lefty and righty batters. Decent strikeout numbers as well here, Kevin, striking out roughly 26% of the batters he's facing. Not a huge walk guy either. Right around 6% of the batters he's faced get the free pass. But as you take a look at the minus 144, sometimes you want to ride a hot team here. It feels like the Yankees are just getting into stride once again. Going back from, 10 out in the AL East now to 8.5. I do think they are a live team in this game. Take a look at the lineup. That should do well. Aaron Judge at 379 weighted on base average against righties, as well as Giancarlo Stanton, 371. Maybe the big power bats are coming back here, and they can get a sweep here of the Seattle Mariners. Should be interesting, but I do give the nod to the Yankees. I think they're the better play today.
Also noteworthy in last night's victory for the Yankees, 5-4 game going into the bottom of the ninth inning. Chad Green gets the ball. Aroldis Chapman stays in the bullpen. Perhaps a necessary move there as to who gets to close games for the New York Yankees moving forward. We take a break here. We come back one more baseball-related option, but that's how we'll start things off in Take It or Leave It, which is next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Time for Take It or Leave It. And I have a little combo here. Again, trying to inspire the odds boost, speak things into existence. So ways back on Sunday Night Baseball, the FanDuel Sportsbook had a great odds boost of a couple of pitchers to combine for a strikeout total. Why not do it again? Yu Darvish and Max Scherzer match up tonight in the game between the Padres and the Nationals. Those two pitchers to combine, Donnie, for 15-plus strikeouts. Take it or leave it.
I'm actually going to take this one here. And hear me out on this, because if you take a look at the pitching matchup here, two aces that are going to be on the mound. If you take a look from a Darvish perspective, he's striking at about 30% of the batters that he faces this year. Take a look at Max Scherzer, even higher, Kevin, at 34%. So if we expect these guys to go 6-7 innings, they should approach those numbers. The only caveat, if you're looking for a downside of this argument, not huge strikeout lineups here. If we take a look from a Padres perspective, Tatis striking at about 26% of the time to right-handed pitching, Grisham 24%, Myers 28 and Caratini 25. That's the better side. So if you're going to win this, you probably want Max Scherzer to run that one up to about maybe 9 or 10 strikeouts and sort of carry the weight. Because if we flip it over to the Washington Nationals side here, Yu Darvish, as we said, striking out about 30% of the batters. But towards right-handed pitching, take a look at this. Only two guys elevated in the lineup for the Nationals at a strikeout rate. Bell, 24%. Robles, about 25%. Everybody around that 20% or less. So we're going to need a big night from Max Scherzer, which I think we can get in order to cash this ticket in. But I do like it here, and I'll take it.
I really hope that they can create this odds boost. This is a lot more fun than the no runs in the first inning that seemingly never hit. I'm begging you, go out there, put Darvish and Scherzer together, and let's get after it here. We go to the NFL now in Take It or Leave It. Again, want to continue to mix the NFL into the show as we are getting closer and closer to the season. And there are some awards odds available. The NFL Comeback Player of the Year, the favorite at plus 200, Dak Prescott. Donnie, Take It or Leave It. Dak to win the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, plus 200.
I mean, does everything point towards Dallas? I mean, it's always what it is, and rightfully so. He's going to put up big numbers down there. They're probably going to win the division, so I do believe he is sitting there at a 2-1 price, and I think it does make sense. I don't know if we're going to give it to Saquon Barkley coming off a knee injury. What is he going to have to do, Kevin? 1,500, 1,800 yards on the ground and play all 17 games? I don't know if that's going to take place. Joe Burrow, sure, he can be Comeback Player of the Year, but if you're looking at a team that's probably going to be third or maybe even fourth in the division, can you really give that guy Comeback Player of the Year? But there's a guy a little bit lower, Kev, that we know very well. Sitting at 10-1 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That is Carson Wentz back with Frank Reich. A great offensive line, weapons all around him, and a team that can legitimately win its division. So we're talking about, you know, wrapping it back around to the NFC East, technically, with Wentz and Dak Prescott. I don't think it can hurt you, Kev. What happens if you lay a little bit of money down on Dak Prescott, lay a little bit down on Carson Wentz? It makes sense. But I have to say, I do agree, and I'll take it, that Dak Prescott at plus 200 probably is the favorite and should win it, should he stay healthy. But there is that dark horse, Carson Wentz, Kevin. 10-1 price, nipping at my heels.
So, first of all, I would leave it on Dak. He deserves to be the favorite. I'm not betting him at plus 200. Because I understand he's coming back from injury, but he also was very good before. He had big numbers before he was injured, and he'll have to replicate a lot of that. Wentz is an interesting case, though, because, again, a lot of these people, it's like, nice comeback story from your injury. Wentz is just coming back from being terrible, which is really interesting. I'm interested in Odell Beckham Jr. at 20-1. Not only coming off of the injury, but a little bit of a redemption story. The Browns are supposed to be better. I think he'll need to be a big part of that if they are going to get where they need to go. I know Odell is a guy that splits a room, but at 20-1, if he goes out there and balls out, I could see him. I have to bring it up, though, Donnie, before we move past. You continue to work your way down this board. Julio Jones, 39-1. Jimmy Garoppolo, 50-1. James Conner, 60-1. Tim Tebow, 75-1. Is it worth a sprinkle on Tim Tebow?
I mean, if you want a tax deduction, that's all fine and good to bet on Tim Tebow now that sports gambling is legal here with the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey. But I got to tell you, there's better ways to spend your money than Tim Tebow. What does that mean then, Kevin? Comeback Player of the Year. Like, does that mean he is going to be starting quarterback once again and take over for Trevor Lawrence and get them into the playoffs for the Jaguars? I love the fact you brought that up because 75-1 is a hilarious price. It should be 775, you know, 1,000-2-1, if that even makes sense at this point. Comeback Player of the Year. Is he even going to make the roster? My goodness.
See, but if he makes the roster, I'll be interested. See, the thing is, right, you think about the bars that these players have to clear, right? Like Wentz has to be good in Indianapolis. Dak has to win a division. Odell has to not divide a locker room. If Tim Tebow makes the roster, I'd cut his odds in half. He hasn't played since 2012.
That's true, though.
I mean, that's a comeback, baby. Like, that's a, like, Donnie, like, if he catches a touchdown, that's a you know this, too. If he catches
I'm so
touchdown,
glad fans aren't voting. Oh, my goodness. If the fans were voting on this and Tim Tebow made the team in Jacksonville and Gator Nation got after it, where he would be 75-1, because that's probably a little bit of a hedge here at the FanDuel Sportsbook that you're saying, like, we don't know if he's going to make the team, but here's the price. But when he makes it, that is significantly going to drop. And if he scores, like, you know, touchdown catch in week one to start the hype train, like last year, you're like, oh, Cam Newton had a great week one. MVP. Well, you got to let the rest of the 16 games play out. But my goodness, if he makes the team and scores or, you know, takes a Wildcat 3-yard touchdown run into the end zone, is that number going to go to minus 250 now as a favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year just because of that one game?
Yes. He hasn't played in a decade. Like, that's the best comeback of all time. I think I'm in. I think I'm in on Tebow 75-1. Donnie, Like, if he does make the team, too, like, Urban Meyer is going to get him the football. Like, he is going to do a little wildcat sneaking. Trevor Lawrence option. Tebow's ripping that thing out of Trevor Lawrence's hands, going barreling into the end zone there. It's going to be emotional. Oh, get excited about it. Tim Tebow, comeback player of the year. We keep it moving here and take it or leave it. We bring up an early option that I think is quite interesting for this Euro 2020 final between England and Italy. A goal scored in both halves. Yes, Donnie, plus 102. Take it or leave it.
This is a tough one here. I'm actually going to leave this one. I'm a guy that loves goal scoring and, you know, always on the offensive. Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, we certainly cheer for those guys. And we do want to see Wembley explode with an England goal early to try to set the tone in that party atmosphere. But I got to tell you, it feels like once you finally get to the finals here, Kevin, the sport slows down a little bit. You're more apt to say, let's not make a mistake. Let's just see if maybe we can get the lucky break. We'll play the long game. We have extras if we need it, you know. Two separate periods before we even go to a penalty shot. So I think the offenses are going to be backpedaling in the first half. I'm going to leave this on the table. And it seems so easy, doesn't it, Kevin? One goal in the first 45 minutes, one goal in the second. Where do I sign up? I'm going to leave that one a little bit off the table for me on this. How are you looking at this one?
It's tough. I almost wanted it to be a personal odds boost, but I'm like, well, I don't even know if I actually like it to hit. Because you need that goal in the first half. You obviously, right? Do these teams need to score early? Don't forget, England's allowed one goal in this tournament. Yeah. Italy is probably the best defense in this tournament as well. The total for this game is going to be quite low. So you are looking at a situation where, you know, like it's over 1.5 goals for the game is minus 200. Like it's minus 205 for under 2.5 goals. There's a very big expectancy here. That is a low-scoring game. Going to be really fun to follow. We're going to keep mixing it up with this one throughout the week here as we get ready, of course, for that match on Sunday. We move over to the NBA. There's an odds boost available tonight in the FanDuel Sportsbook. 60 paying out, Donnie, at plus 340.
It's great that you bring this up because how can I preface this by saying I'm taking it just because I love this bet here. Do I think it's actually going to hit? Yeah. Technically, I would think it's more likely not to hit, which is why the price is sitting at a plus 340. So if you try to break the game down and say, okay, you know, Giannis is going to be back. It's a little bit more healthy. There's going to be no maybe butterflies in the stomach from either team because, quite frankly, neither one of these teams have had much final success in their franchise's history, let alone the players actually playing in the game. But you do have to get roughly 30 points on one side and 30 on the other. Can they get there? Maybe, but absolutely for show purposes and content, I need to be in on this. I am taking this, Kevin. Give me 35-31 at the end of the first quarter. Let's party with a plus 340 ticket in our pocket. Maybe the brain says, hey, you know what? Maybe you should lay off this one. But the Donnie Wright side in me, Kevin, says, we are betting this one.
First of all, this is maybe the strongest take it in the history of this show. Just for the pure enjoyment of it all.
Yes.
Okay? We're going to be able to follow this on In Play Sports tonight in its entirety. And I cannot wait. At plus 340 for there to be 60 points. Like, I know that the NBA postseason has been a little bit lower scoring. This is what like regular first quarter totals were all the time. 59.5. All the time. Now, I know you might say, yeah, but things are slower in the NBA Finals. The first 6 minutes, nobody knew what was going on. There were no threes made in the first 6 minutes of the first quarter in game number one. Donnie, they got the 56 points. And we're getting plus 340 for them to add four more to that when we had no threes made? Like, this isn't just to take it because I'm taking this no matter what. I really think this is going to hit. There are some times we'll swing on an odds boost and we'll just cross our fingers. Donnie, I think we're bringing this home tonight.
No, and it has to. And if you tune in late to the show while the game tips off and if the energy is kind of low on the show, you'll know the score without actually checking the game itself. Yeah, that's how we roll in In-Play Sports tonight.
We will be demoralized, but that's because we care. It's because we care. Yes. Come on back. We'll talk about the rest of this game next here on The Early Line.
Expert perspective.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's break down Bucks and Suns. Game number two of the NBA Finals. Phoenix, a 5.5-point favorite. Your total up to 220. Did come up from that closing line of game number one at 219. I think the open was 217.5 before the action started to move and Giannis was confirmed in. Speaking of Giannis, though, we have some leftovers from Take It or Leave It that we're going to start our breakdown with. And this is a good one that Donnie brought up. The first basket market, we're talking about first quarter sweats. We talk about 3x2 sweats. First basket, hold your breath, close your eyes. This is nasty. But you notice that they ran the play for Giannis to start game number one. Could it potentially happen again? Donnie, take it or leave it. Giannis, the first basket score at plus 500.
I'm going to take this one because when you take a look at the FanDuel odds currently right now, DeAndre Ayton plus 500, Giannis at plus 500, Chris Middleton at 550, and Drew Holiday at 550. It just seems like you want to get your superstar involved. I love the fact that they tried to get that alley-oop dunk just to make sure that Giannis was physically into it and maybe even show the Suns that he was physically into it. I expect a big performance out of Giannis tonight, and I think it starts on the first possession. Win the tip, go down, get it to Giannis, because correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, even if he gets to the line and they count him down, 1, 2, 3, 4, one of those shots goes down, you're good to go in this one.
Absolutely. So that's a good point to clarify as well. The winner is deemed to be the player who scores the first point. So it doesn't have to be a layup. He goes to the line, splits the pair, just like he did in game one. You cash that ticket. I am actually very tempted to double up in this market, grab like Giannis and Devin Booker and just ride this thing out and hope I got one of the two winners. Chris Paul, by the way, is 10-1. I know he doesn't often score as much in the opening quarters, but he did take Phoenix's first shot of game number one. That's going to be fun to follow. Also, speaking of Chris Paul, over under 2.5 3-point made shots here. It's just very relevant to bring up because Chris Paul being able to dominate on the perimeter impacted that game so much. He knocked down 4, Donnie, in the opening game. Do you think he can go out there and make 3 or more, paying out at a nice plus price on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
I do think he can, and you're looking at 3 at plus 146. It's not as if you're looking at a number that says, hey, if he gets over 2.5, it plays out plus 110 or plus 100. That's a nice plus money, and you're talking about a guy that is dialed in right now and looks completely healthy off of his injury that he suffered earlier in the playoffs versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Just look at his last game, Kevin. 37 points, 12 of 19 for the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 32 points in that game. Why not? If you're looking for a Suns victory, Kevin, don't you feel that he has to get 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 threes in this game? If we're looking at a 220 number, we're expecting points. Theoretically, 110 aside would be able to get you done. No reason to believe why he can't get over that total, Kevin. Absolutely, I'm taking that. Give me Chris Paul tonight to make 3 threes in this game. And do I even need to look any? That's a plus 146, right? Why am I messing around, Kevin, and going line to line to line to see if P.J. Tucker is going to hit a 3 or Drew Holiday is going to hit a 3? If I know a guy that is locked and loaded, is going to play close to 40 minutes and shoot at a high percentage, why not just go Chris Paul to make 3 of them?
Yeah, and as long as that volume is there, 7 attempts for someone as efficient as Chris Paul, I think that's a good look. But let's start to break down this game from the spread, the money line perspective, who we think takes the second game of this series. Phoenix is a 5.5-point favorite. It is plus 188 on the Milwaukee Bucks. Do either of those options intrigue you here, Donnie, in game number two?
I like the over. I do. And it's not saying, well, Donnie always likes overs. Look at the first game here. You had a Giannis that we maybe didn't know we were going to anticipate or get from him, Kevin. They end up with 105 points, and he only plays in that game, you know, under 40 minutes, 35 minutes. If he increases that at least another 5 minutes here and doesn't get into foul trouble and is healthy, why not? Why are we not going to get both of these teams approaching at least that 110 level? Because if we look at the final score of this game, what's more likely to happen here, Kevin? 116 to 110, or let's just say 102 to 96. More inclined that it's going to be the higher scoring number in this one. We'll see what we get out of it. So looking at the line itself, -5.5, do I think Phoenix can win this game and cover once again like I did game one? Sure, I do. But I feel more comfortable in this game. We're going to get good offense on both sides of the basketball and a competitive game. Maybe we need the last minute here, Kevin, that takes, you know, the last 45 seconds takes 10 minutes. Might be a good thing, and you can steal 5, 10, or even 15 points over the last minute of that game if you need it. I like the over in this game, Kevin, if we're just looking from a side perspective and a total perspective before the game starts.
I absolutely agree. We talked about starting this series off with a position on the over. I think that continues to be a good idea. I think these teams can and will be scoring 220. Does not scare me off of that number. As far as the side goes here, I am interested in the Milwaukee Bucks. I think you would be mistaken to just leave the 5.5 points alone, but I would also dabble a little bit here in the money line. I wouldn't even be against playing the Bucks in the first quarter. Money line +122. If you wanted to grab 1.5 points in the first quarter, that is also an option. You noticed even in the beginning of that game, Milwaukee kind of came out very aggressive. Phoenix sometimes it feels like maybe settles in as the game develops here, Donnie. I think Milwaukee early is absolutely worth a look in this game. First quarter, first half here. I do not think that Phoenix is going to come out and steamroll them by any stretch of the imagination tonight. And if that's going to be the case, then Milwaukee needs to be competitive from the jump.
If you think Milwaukee is going to win this game, got a great wager for you here, and I think it makes sense. Look at the game itself. Milwaukee, Kevin, +5.5. The money line, +188. So you're saying, I think Milwaukee's actually going to win. Forget about the actual spread itself. You take down the 188. But take a look at this number here, Kevin, as we take a look on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Player performance doubles. Giannis Antetokounmpo to get a double-double and a Milwaukee win, +280. Number one, there's no way Milwaukee wins if Giannis doesn't get a double-double. If Giannis has 9 points and 7 rebounds, they probably got blown out anyway in this game. But if Giannis does his normal on one leg, or what we thought was going to be one leg in game one, gets close to 20 rebounds and 20 points, there's no reason to believe he's not going to easily get his double-double. And again, if you think Milwaukee is going to win, why would you just take the +188 on the money line, stretch it out to a +280? He might have a double-double, Kevin, by halftime here.
Yeah, Giannis is someone that is always having big-time performances like that, and +280 is definitely a nice boost. There are oftentimes I do wonder, Donnie, about being able to knock down a double, a player performance double here, a player performance double here, and trust that you will be able to come out profitable if you play them in good enough ranges. I also just want to bring up something because you mentioned the double-double. I do not ever remember seeing this previously during the season to record a double-double markets. We've seen throughout the postseason to record a triple-double. Those are always big-time swings if you can bring them home. But they have Giannis at -410, Ayton at -320. But then you get into the little bit more reasonable ranges here. Chris Paul, -105. Drew Holiday being offered at even money here. The first thing that jumps off the page to me when I see this market, Donnie, is Brooke Lopez at +900 for a double-double. I know not the greatest rebounder in the world, but 9-1 on Brooke Lopez for a double-double does stand out.
Man, now you got my attention, because I wasn't even, usually we look at the triple-double market because you get those big lottery ticket type payouts here, but as taking a look, forget about if you have some money, and you can't be shying away sometimes here at what the odds look like before the game. It's what the value of those odds technically are. So most people look at that Giannis double-double at -410 and say, I'm not doing that. But when you actually break it down, you don't need the winner of this game. He's shown to be healthy. Now, obviously, if he gets an injury, you're not going to get the double-double. But if you lay $410 to win $100 on the Giannis double-double, as I said earlier, he might even have it at the half. That is a fantastic wager. And sliding it all the way down, double-double can mean a lot of stuff here. It's points and rebounds, points assist. You look at Chris Paul, minus 105. Drew Holiday, you figure he's going to be much more involved in this one as well, plus 100. That is a great market that I'm going to look into a little bit later tonight. But even looking at Giannis at minus 410, it seems very expensive. But when you put two and two together, how expensive is that really, Kevin, just for him to get a double-double and you don't care who wins the basketball game?
Absolutely. I'll tell you this as well. Drew Holiday had even money. He had 10 points. He will get the double-digit points. He had 9 assists and 7 rebounds in the opener. The fact that a guy like Drew Holiday could hit it through multiple markets there and you don't have to nail down the assists or rebounds is an interesting proposition even on Drew Holiday. We continue to talk through props, and we have to talk about the Giannis props from a scoring perspective. You asked James Young about it in our opening hour. 26.5 is the number. If you wanted Giannis to score 30-plus points, that pays out at plus 168, 35-plus at plus 510. What would your approach, Donnie, be tonight on the Giannis points prop?
It's got to be over. It has to be over. If you're just taking a look at what you saw, the eye test in game one, it doesn't look like Giannis is injured at all. His explosion is there. There was no point in that game, Kevin, did I look at Giannis and be like, you know what? Maybe a bad decision to play him here. Ooh, they're playing him too many minutes. You can clearly see him hobbled. It doesn't look like that's the case at all. The post-game press conference was very comfortable. You would have already heard some stories break the very next day, which would have been yesterday. Like, hey, Giannis's knee swelled up. It looks like all systems go. And also when we talk to Coach, Milwaukee Bucks have to win this game. This is must win. You're not going to go out and say, well, let's play Giannis 26 minutes and see what happens, and then go down 0-2 and see if we can salvage the next 4 out of 5 games against the Suns and win this series for an NBA championship. He's got to be all in tonight. Number one, for Milwaukee to have a chance at winning, he's got to get that. But I do think Giannis is going to approach 30 points in this game. I expect a tremendous effort out of him. So 26.5 minus 112, I'm looking towards the over in this, Kevin. I am.
I agree. I think the workload has to increase. I think it will increase, shaking off rust. Also, the mental aspect of it all, just trusting yourself to do it once again. Giannis will be successful. He played Phoenix twice this season, 47 points in one game, 33 points in the other game here. I don't think you're getting enough plus money on 30-plus points at plus 168, but plus 510 for him to get the 35. If Giannis is back, you can take home a big old plus 510 number. But speaking of player points, Chris Middleton's 25.5. It's either that or maybe it would just be his three-point prop, Donnie, at 2.5. I do not trust him to have a consecutive big game on the road. Middleton is somebody that at the minimum will be a no play, if not a straight-up fade for me, and betting actually unders going into the second game of this series.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because you're right. Sometimes you get buoyed by a better home court. You know, you get a more honest effort because the fans are behind you, used to those same shooting lines. I think Chris Middleton is going to be okay tonight. But the guy, again, we just keep getting back to, Drew Holiday. When you took a look at his points prop total, the 18.5, he can't have a 8 or 9 or 10 point performance and still have Milwaukee be able to win this game. It seems like Giannis is going to have to get 30 points. Middleton, I don't know if he needs the 25, but give me that low 20s number with, you know, decent shooting from the field. Then also take a look at Drew Holiday. He's got to approach that 20 points as well. The big three for the Bucks, which is what was supposed to carry you to an NBA championship, they must play well tonight in this game, which means, Kevin, we should get some points here.
Also, and we usually never give you the three-point prop parlays early, but the going back to people that didn't shoot it well from game one, Devin Booker to make two, Drew Holiday to make two, parlay together is plus 103. We'll see. I know Donnie and I will be breaking that down tonight on In Play Sports Tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio. Up next here, though, on the early line, Donnie will be joined by Ariel Epstein to get you set for what's coming up next on The Morning After. Keep it right here on Sports Grid. We'll be back right after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day on a Thursday for the early line. I want to thank Coach James Young for joining us, talking a little bit of NBA action, but we're going to turn it over to the morning after. Three action-packed hours coming up with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Thursday. You're at the Sportsbook, Ariel. How you doing this morning?
I'm great. Love being here. Got to get the bets in early. Beat those lines. Major League Baseball yesterday was super exciting. There were so many big things that happened in soccer, in hockey. We have a Stanley Cup champion. Well, they stayed Stanley Cup champions, at least. Excited for the NBA Finals as well tonight, Donnie.
Nah, big night in sports. I know you guys got a good show waiting with a lot of guests here, but you are right. We did crown a Stanley Cup champion last night. Major League Baseball had a no-hitter that included five pitchers in a seven-inning game. The Yankees get back on track way out on the West Coast, but I think all eyes today, Ariel, focused on NBA Game 2, Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis expected to go and healthy in this one. Should be a good one here. And also with the FanDuel Sportsbook here, the odds boost. 60-plus total points scored in the first quarter at plus 340. I'm all over this. What are you looking at this game, Ariel? Maybe some fun with some props, as you like to do, or maybe just a winner in this game?
I probably am staying away from a side. The status of Giannis Antetokounmpo looks bright. However, it scares me to take the points at +5.5 with Milwaukee, even thinking about any uncertainties we might have on Giannis. I'm looking to the first half over. With Giannis being out there, that's the way that I would play it, because it doesn't necessarily mean I have to wait for the entire game. I could just hope that in the first half, Giannis is more productive on the offensive side of the ball than really on the defensive, which is where we saw him thrive more in game one, where he had 17 rebounds. I could see Giannis scoring more points tonight.
Real quick on that, too, with Giannis playing about 35 minutes game one, do you think he exceeds that number in game two here?
I do, Donnie. I know you and Kevin have been talking about this when it comes to playing 40-plus minutes for Giannis. I could see them lifting any kind of restrictions minutes they put on him in game one.
Absolutely. That'll do it for the early line. Stay tuned for the morning after with Ben Stevens and Ariel Epstein right here on the Sports Grid Network. 3 hours to carry you through.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives. Every